Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Salut tout le monde. Hey everybody. It is game over. It was game over midway through the second period, if we're being perfectly honest. But we have a fantastic guest with us tonight. And if for those that have been following along, our fantastic fans, you'll notice that Jared over here has the worst luck when it comes to Habs games. He's just telling me how we got the last two games he was on. Absolutely, the Habs got dominated. So maybe this is the last time Jared comes on the show tonight. No. We're really happy to have you here, Jared. Really good guy. Honestly, just one of the nicest guys I've known. The person who taught me everything I know about women's hockey and also a fantastic Montreal Canadiens analyst. How's it going, Jared?
I'm good. I was wondering where you were going. I've taught you everything because I'm like, I don't know where are you going with this. It's good to be here. It's good to be here.
Yeah, you also taught me everything I know about bank robbing, but we're just going to shh. Mum is the word on that. Nobody look into the recent bank robberies in Verdun. We're going to say salut to the chat. Alexandre Christian says salut Marquis, salut Jared. We also have Trizak, always here, Trinka, always here. And you both know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to trade some goalies so hard tonight. Maybe Jake Allen, we're not going to ask for too much, but we do have updates on the whole goalie trade situation, so we're going to talk about that. Claire is here. Hi Claire, and she puts it perfectly, barfy game. That's about how, as well as I can put it, just like your beautiful daughter, Jared, there was a little bit of barf involved in the game tonight. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But we do want to say salut to the entire chat. Merci beaucoup. Thank you for being here, Kay. And Salt was also here. Or Salty done? I don't know. Am I reading it right? Either was here last time, and so was Melissa, and so was Jean. So merci tout le monde d'avoir été ici. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Make sure to like the chat and subscribe. Because eventually when we get to, I think it's 100,000 subscribers, I don't know, Steve said something or other about it being good. I'll be honest, I was eating chocolate. I was eating holiday chocolate. I wasn't paying attention in the meeting, but apparently we're this close to being excellent. All right, Jared, first of all, I need to know, how's your beautiful daughter?
She's good. She's sleeping right now. Luckily, fell asleep, I think, when it was still 1-0, so... She didn't see most of the badness.
Good. She's too pure for that type of bad performance. For those that haven't, and Jared often brings his daughter around for hockey games and rinks. Very, just the most adorable baby I've ever seen in my life. Always smiling. Like, Jared, does she ever not smile?
Oh, she does. Hmm. Yeah. Normally when she's with us alone, she puts on a show for everybody else.
Okay, well,
as all good kids go.
Hey, that works for me. As I always play the uncle part whenever my friends have kids, and that's great for me. As long as they smile when I'm there, I load them up with sugar, and then I get the hell out. So I'm bringing soda over to your place next time around, Jared. That's the deal. All right, rough game for the Montreal Canadiens. Let's get it out of the way right off the bat. I think, Jared, that was their worst defensive display we've seen all year. And I feel like I'm always defending Jake Allen. I don't want to say it wasn't his fault tonight, but those two power play goals or the two penalty kill goals were just absolutely carbon copy, terrible defense. The third goal, Matheson and Saval, it's got to go. That pairing's got to go. And the fourth goal, we actually saw Jaden Struble get in trouble for once. Jordan Harris got in trouble. So even our perfect little angels in the third pairing were having a hard time. How did you read it defensively for the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly, and there's a lot of factors going into it. I mean, you know, the first game back at home after a long road trip is always a struggle for teams,
yeah.
And especially ones that are as inconsistent as the Canadiens. Like, it's not like they're a veteran team, let's be honest here. So, I mean, it wasn't very good for anybody. I don't think we necessarily have to read too much into that those struggles. But obviously there needs to be some measure of accountability, and they have the players to do it. I mean, they can hold people accountable. It just depends on, whether it's they want to put players out there, or whether they just want to, make changes to the actual system itself. But yeah, it was an ugly game. You want to learn from it, but you don't want to remember it too long.
I get the sense that this is one of those where, just as you were saying, you want to learn from it, but at the same time, this might be a burn the tape situation for Martin St-Louis, right? Like, and I will say this as well, and I know he's a young coach too. He's actually the 11th longest tenured coach in the NHL, believe it or not. Just because after St-Louis got hired, everyone else got fired. But Martin St-Louis also lacked adjustments in this game, and I feel like that's a common theme in a lot of the blowouts, right? It's he look, he's dealing with a rough roster right now. He's missing forwards. He's had 11 forwards for a while now, but there was a lack of adjustments from Martin St-Louis, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that, there's also only so much he can do, right? You mentioned 11 forwards. It's not like he has
10 and a
much
half,
flexibility
really.
there. And he refuses to play certain players more than, 8 minutes a night. So,
You mean Ylönen? Just say his name. It's Ylönen. And he actually had a good name. I think he actually ended up more than 8 minutes. Keep talking. I'll go look how many
he played
minutes.
on the power play. He played on the power play at least. So that's good.
Hallelujah. Hey, man, he started the game by setting up Gallagher. He set up Evans. He set up Gallagher again. I feel like Ylönen is that guy that the moment you give him a few more minutes, he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, he's really become a well-rounded player. Like, he's kind of enforced. When he first came up, he was like offense, offense, offense. I mean, you saw him in Laval as much as I did, and I think he's really rounded him into a guy you can trust. And I don't know why he doesn't trust him. I understand trying to get other guys going. They've been trying to get Monahan and Anderson and those guys going, but at the same time, I mean, play the guys that are playing well. Like, it's not that complicated. But I mean, it's I don't know why he's not getting a regular look in the top nine, but that's why Martin St-Louis is in the Hall of Fame and getting paid to coach, and I'm watching. But I mean, maybe there's reasons for that. I don't know. But I mean, it's hard to get too critical, but if there's one thing, it just seems strange that it's not going that way.
Well, and especially because, okay, first of all, how many minutes do you think he played total?
Well, today, maybe 11, I'd say.
13.
Oh,
Take that. Take that and
yeah.
sit on it in the
Well, it's
third.
because the 11 forwards. That's the only
Right?
reason.
He was missing forwards and he actually played on the power play. And again, it was only Pezzetta and Stevens who played less, right? So yeah, you have to kind of judge in context there.
Congratulations. You're a
Yeah,
good shot.
exactly, right? I will say this, the reason I bring it up is because the Montreal Canadiens clearly lack shooting talent, right? It's the number one thing that every single time you look at the roster, even when Cole Caulfield was scoring, and let's be honest, right now his timing is off, they still lack shooting talent. And Ylönen is one of the few guys that has a great shot. And he also, well, tonight we saw him as a playmaker. So yeah, I don't quite get it. And especially, they'll dust him off in the shootout after not playing him all third period, right? So he's almost become like a special teams player. Yeah, again, I'll defer to the coach just like you, but it's starting to become hard to justify having other guys in the lineup higher and getting more ice time than Ylönen. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard for a while,
Yeah,
right?
right?
It's getting almost to the point where it's impossible. Because and it's not like it's just a young player who's not playing well. Like, it's not like Slafkovský early in the year, right? Where
No.
he's not really forcing the issue. He's playing well. Ylönen's playing well. And it's just strange that he's not getting rewarded for it, as much as maybe other guys have
Yeah.
in this year, so.
Well, I think, and also, let's give credit to St-Louis. He's had a lot of reclamation slash like development projects happening at the same time, which is not what should be in the NHL. But we will say this tonight, it was hard to justify giving him more minutes than, and Kay just nailed it in the chat, than Yoel Armia, because Yoel Armia had his 1 in 10 elite game. Man, he was all over the ice. Strips Rasmus Dahlin, who might be a top three defenseman in the NHL. I don't know if there's any Sabres fans here, but man, Rasmus Dahlin is, he's everything you want a defenseman to be. So the fact that Joel Armia stole a puck from him just blew my mind. Snipes it. How many more games until we see Armia score? No, that's the issue.
He scored twice technically tonight, right?
Oh yeah. Well, actually, so, I mean, I did miss the first, the one that was reviewed. What was that about? What was it, offside again?
Goaltender interference. No. Pezzetta kind of accidentally on purpose didn't try too hard to avoid the goalie.
Perfect. The perfect Pezzetta play. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
I thought he actually looked good tonight, and he had that crazy look in his eyes. That's when you know Michael Pezzetta is going to do good, is when he's got that crazy look in his eyes.
The Ryan White test.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You're right. Every once in a while, morphs into Ryan White, and he goes, you know, absolutely ballistic, and I love it. Again, I'm a huge Michael Pezzetta fan. I figure if you're going to have a fourth line, you want a guy on there that's just creating chaos, that's taking as many hits and shots, and he's the one that goes right for the biggest guy on the other team, so I have a soft spot for Michael Pezzetta. That being said, you're going to need more talent in the lineup. So that brings us back to guys like Yudin not getting that ice time. I think eventually he will. But for now, Martin Saint-Louis, again, 11 forwards. So, you know, lack of options. Who do you see come up from Laval? Because I looked at it today, Jared. It's not great, the situation in Laval. And do they even need to bring up a center? Because look at it. You have Evans. You have Suzuki. You have Monahan. Who am I? I'm forgetting. Oh, Mitchell Stevens. Does it have to be a center from the Laval Rocket?
No. I don't think it has to be a center. I think they have options there.
Yeah.
They have a guy like Philip Maillet, who has played center.
In the KHL.
Yeah, and look, last year, who did they have at center behind Suzuki? It was like Dvorak, Alex Belzile, and Chris Turney. Like, come on. Like, oh, man. No offense to them, but you can't do... No matter who you call up and play at center.
Whoa, my boy Benzil. You are not trash talking my boy Benzil, though. I swear to God, Jared.
I love the guy, but he's not an NHL center.
He was top 20 in the entire NHL in points per 60 last year. What? Quoi? Pride of Saint-Éloi, Quebec. How dare you? How dare you?
But, they can even bring up a guy like Lucas Condotta. You talk about fourth liners like Pezzetta.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
He's a guy that he's a guy that can kind of come in, fit that role. He's played center. He's playing center. They have guys who can play center without, putting a Riley Kidney in there and say, go, kid. they have options, but I don't think they need to have a center because they have guys that can fit in there if needed.
Yeah.
Philippe
Maillet strikes me as the guy that would come up, though, just because he's got that experience, right? But there's another guy that I'm thinking of that doesn't even have a contract that deserves it. Do you know who I'm talking about? Yeah, Brandon Gignac. He's been the Laval Rockets' best player. He's been better than Joshua Roy.
He's been so good that I think it's hurting him because
they need
it's
him.
Hard to
yeah. Yeah.
The Rocket need him. So the whole thing with Gignac, there's a lot of people here who or not here, but online who are like as soon as they sign him, he has to go on waivers. That's not the case.
No.
It's only four players from Europe. The problem is that if they sign him and call him up, as soon as they want to put him down, he has to go through waivers. And I don't think they can risk that. They already are getting close with Mitchell Stevens, too.
Okay, but who gives a shit about waivers? Stop. Okay, I want everyone to stop worrying about waivers. And you actually bring up a really good point, because that's something that people said that they'd lose him right away. But here's the thing. First of all, if Brandon Gignac gets claimed by another team, they have to keep him up or else the Habs get a chance to claim him again. And if he gets kept up, good for him, man. Have a career. Go out, bring up Elias Andersson. I don't know. This fear of waivers, it's kind of like when I was younger, I was afraid of the Bermuda Triangle and quicksand. I was petrified of them. Several years later, I realized I don't have to be very afraid of them because when's the last time a guy got claimed from the Habs on waivers? I honestly can't remember. Isn't it? It's overblown, Jared. I swear
Noah
to God.
Jolson? Was it Noah Jolson?
Oh, yeah, it might be. Hey, yeah. Yeah. And he actually went on to be pretty decent for the Canucks. Hey, yeah. Shit. That's a really good counter argument. God damn it.
but honestly, though, the issue is not losing Brandon Gignac as a player, as an NHL player. That's not the issue.
It's losing him for the Rocket.
The issue is losing Brandon Gignac as an AHL player, where he's basically, he's not the captain. That's Gabriel Bourque. But let's face it, Brandon Gignac is the heart and soul of that team right now.
Big time. Yeah.
And they're playing well. They're starting to make a relative push. And I think that they just don't want to mess that up because, you know, they have other guys that can call up. You mentioned Elias Andersson. We didn't even mention him at first. Like, he can play center too. He's played center in the NHL. I think he might have been drafted as a center. But I mean, you know, in a pinch, they have these guys that they can call up without doing that. And it sucks for Gignac. I think he'll get an NHL deal at the end of the season.
It's almost like
I really do.
Xavier Ouellette back in the day, they weren't calling him up because they needed him in Laval no matter what. They eventually did when they lost 47 defensemen. But yeah, he kind of got like stuck there.
And he played in the playoffs that year, right? He got called up, and then he was the third pairing D in that the bubble playoffs.
What a crazy year. Okay, well, and as Evan mentions right now as well, yeah, Laval just can't afford it because we're seeing Jakub Dobesh is playing a little bit better. We're seeing guys like Logan Mailloux really firm up their defensive game. Kidney is out right now. I don't think he's on the road trip, but he was starting to produce a lot more now that he's had his opportunity. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a really good point right now that he has a lot more value to the Habs in the AHL than the NHL. Well, then how about this guy then? We glossed over him, Joshua Roy.
I think, you know, I don't hate it, but at the same time, this isn't the beginning of the season where he was hot. Like he's been at the beginning of the season, he was the best player on the team.
Yeah,
by far. Mm-hmm. And I think he hit a wall, and that's fine. I'm not saying that it's you know, but honestly, ever since, you know, I think there was one game, I forget where it was, but I didn't notice him once. And you're seeing that more and more now that you're not noticing him on the ice. He's still talented. You still see him at times. He's not playing with the best line mates now either. I think they dropped him down to kind of spread out the offense. It's not an indictment on him. I'm not trashing him. Mm-hmm. But I think that when a young kid gets his first NHL call-up, you want them to be on a high. You don't want them to be struggling a little bit. And you know, you saw it with Struble, right? Jaden Struble was playing his best hockey. They called him up. And seamless transition. And you know, he might not even see the AHL again the way things are going. So I think that I don't hate it. I don't think that's where we're gonna go.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, he's obviously as injuries pile up. But I'd rather see a guy like Mailloux or especially Andersson. I think that those are the guys that are sense. Better options. But I don't hate Joshua. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the NHL, but
this I'm just in Jared Book hates Joshua Roy. I'm gonna edit that and hates. Oh, Evan comes.
I think I hear Matt Drake.
I was just gonna say he's probably from New Brunswick. He's just gonna make his Acadian way right down. Evan B mentions last waiver claim was Adam Brooks. So but
that's true.
The Habs claimed him, or he got claimed?
No, the Habs claimed him and then put him on waivers, and Vegas claimed him. That's true.
Was I in a coma? Like, I don't remember any of this.
Well, okay. He was a Hab for like a week. Like, okay. Let's be honest here.
Fair
like,
enough.
It's, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't even remember Adam Brooks was a Hab until his name was just
there you
mentioned.
Go. So, yeah. Rat Gift will mentions, Rat just Gift, not Grift, mentions Sean Farrell is waiver exempt. Yeah, I put him in the same boat as, and kind of the same reason.
He's a better option than Joshua Roy right now. You know, he's been playing well.
Yeah, although I will say this, Juan, the last few games has actually looked a lot better. But you're right.
Yes.
He's just at the end. He basically had that huge crest, plateaued, had a huge nosedive, and now he's coming out of his nosedive. That's Joshua Roy.
Farrell, and honestly, all the players, all the young players on the Rocket, you mentioned Kidney before, Farrell, they're all starting to rise. Mailloux, all those guys, they're starting they're finding to play the well rhythm. Together. Yep. Dobesh as well, like they're all starting to play well at the same time, and it's almost contagious. Like every night it's like, oh, that guy's playing well, and you're really noticing a difference. And credit to Jean-François Houl, he said it's going to be rock and roll until Christmas, but after Christmas that's where we're going to start playing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're playing their best hockey of the year.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
I will say this because it's funny. The chat right now is turning on Will.
I have my problems with Fool.
Yeah, and me too. And
he called the ascent. You know, he called it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that was to be expected too. I didn't mind the migraines, the kind of, not migraines, but the growing pains, with a team full of prospects, right? Like this isn't, they didn't have a ton of hired mercenaries like Laval usually have. So that was to be expected. To me, and we'll see what the chat's saying about him, but I feel like he maybe shies away from talent to really go into that. Like, he'll take a Xavier Simoneau over a Jan Michak 9 out of 10 times. And you know what? I would too. But that applies to almost anyone that has that more of a like an all-out effort versus talent. And I get it. If the guy with talent isn't going to give that all-out effort, you don't necessarily want him on the ice. But I feel like Ull skews a little more Michel Therrien in his player, in his roster selection, if that makes sense.
He gives more rope. He gives more rope to a guy like William Trudeau than a guy like Matthias Norlander. They can make the exact same mistake.
Okay, yeah.
Norlander's the guy who suffers for it. Trudeau gets power play minutes.
He loves his grinders. He loves them.
The floor is higher on those guys. Like, you know what to expect. And coaches, you ask any coach, they would rather have guys you know what to expect from than guys with up and downs. Mm-hmm. But even these young guys have ups and downs. The Semenovs, the Trudeaus, and that's nothing. I don't want to insult them. Like, they're good prospect. They're good players, but they get more leash than a guy like a Norlander as an example, or even like a Heinemann, guys like that. So I think it's definitely the Laval 8 coaches have been like that for a while. Joel Bouchard was similar to that too.
Joel Bouchard, let's be honest, he was a lot like me. He was just all talk, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, I used to remember you and me would come out of some of those scrums and people would be like, damn, those are great quotes. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, go back to 3 days ago. And I'd tell them, go find the exact audio from 3 days ago, play it over, and you word for word, the exact same quote about a different player. Like, there was so many empty calories. And Kay mentions in here, I didn't actually see the comment, though. She says, did you guys see JF Ull's comments on Arbor, I guess, Jack Eye, and the weird, completely unnecessary shot at Justin Barron? No, but, like, this kind of, I'm not surprised.
What did he say,
Jared?
So basically, he's like, Arbor Jack Eye is undrafted, but you compare him to Justin Barron, who was a first round pick, and Arbor Jack Eye is like a first round pick. And just saying, like, Justin Barron, I think Arbor's better than Justin Barron was when he was here. And Barron was a first round pick. Just very unnecessary.
Did he insult both of them there somehow?
I don't think he meant to insult.
He meant to just say Barron. That, yeah, like a basic.
I just think he meant to praise Arbor Jack Eye,
because Justin Barron was excellent for JF Ull, like excellent. I think he was better than Arbor's been, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and you know, like, I'm not taking anything away from Arbor, but there's a reason why he went undrafted. Like, he's a great find, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. The Canadians are running to the bank with him. Like, it was an absolute heist.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't Justin Barron as a prospect. He wasn't Justin Barron, you know, at the same age. Mm-hmm. You might even be ahead of Jet Barron at the same age.
It's a weird thing to say, because Barron might be back in Laval, like, you know, by the end of the year.
They might switch them up like now. He could have done it in a better way.
With all the grace of a drunken bear, did he approach that subject? I'll say there's always been something that rubs me a little the wrong way with Ull when it comes to the treatment of players that have talent. And that kind of concerns me when we're talking about the people that are developing. That being said, I think he actually did a great job last year pushing them to the playoffs. Emil Heinemann was a huge part of that. And like, there's some good in JF Ull. I will say between him, the guy before him, Bouchard, and who was a nice guy before him, the really nice guy, terrible coach. Yes, Lefebvre. Between those three, I will take Réjean Ull's son any day.
There's a lot more good than bad with Ull, let's be honest here. Yeah. And look at how he's preparing guys for the NHL. Like, that's what you want from an NHL coach, right? Like, mm-hmm.
You just want them.
You can't take anything away from
him. You just don't want them dunking on like some of your best prospects like Barron. Melissa Fournier-Martinez, smart comment here. Let the guys develop. And I think that's what Jared was kind of getting at too. And I think the Habs have actually done a pretty good job avoiding grabbing the best guys from the AHL. You know, if you really wanted a guy that was going to come in and help the power play, you're going to call up Mayu. But they went with the stable guy, Struble. If you really wanted a guy that was going to score, you're going to bring up Joshua Roy, but they've been avoiding him like the plague. So I actually feel like the Habs have done a pretty good job not picking the best players from the AHL, because they know it's not a year to throw them into the NHL. You know, last year they had no choice at the end of the year. But yeah, I think the Habs have overall done a pretty good job not raiding their own prospect cupboard, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that another thing that's happening is that they have a development plan for these players. Finally, right? Like, even when they're in the NHL,
yeah.
there's a thinking, there's a method to madness, right? Like, you know, I don't want to bring up Slafkovský, but I mean,
But you will,
the
but you're just
yeah,
about
I will.
to.
But I like there was, it didn't look very good for a long time, but you know that you can see that they it wasn't Kotkaniemi, right? It wasn't the same treatment. They weren't healthy scratching him. They weren't playing him 5 minutes a night. They weren't. It was different. Like, it might have not been optimal, but you can see, like, it worked, right? Like it's
Maybe.
working. It's
Okay,
working now.
that's it's working because listen, for all the amazing like he's hardly ahead of his points pace from last year, right? Like here's the other part. I think I'm the one that wrote about Slafkovský the most. And I think he's been doing, and actually he's made the biggest impact on that top line. That's the cool part. More than Kirby Doc, which is absolutely fantastic. And the big part for me is the forecheck. He's still on pace for about 30 points. Like
I mean,
that's
part of that is because, you know, the net is, you know, they're hitting more posts than anybody. Like, I don't know
Yeah,
if
but you
there's
could say
a
that about
stat
every
for
player, right? Every
post.
player had bad line meets. Every player had rough shifts. I'm just saying he's still on
Yeah.
point, he's still on pace for 30 points this year. Like let's, you know what I mean? Let's maybe
You know who he's almost passing in points though.
Logan Cooley, I haven't checked his stats in a while. Is
Oh,
that it?
he's. I think he's already ahead of Cooley,
Oh, good.
but certainly Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Oh, is he?
Who started the season on fire?
Oh.
Who started the season on fire?
Yeah.
And Jiří is like 2 or 3 points, I think, behind Kotkaniemi right now. So,
Oh, well, you know what? As I talked to a few like high-end scouts when I was in Buffalo a couple of years ago, and I wanted to get their opinion on Kotkaniemi because I really thought that it got personal, right? Obviously with what's his face,
yeah, 100%,
the guy that made
100%.
all his money off the off scamming people with cars. What's the name of the owner of the Canes there?
Dundon? Is
Yes,
that his name?
absolutely. With
Yeah.
those terrible rates that he gave people for cars, and he made a lot of money off that. Anyways, it got personal to him and Bergevin. All the high end, and one of them was an assistant GM. They said like he's a really, really good third line center, and that's what he's gonna end up being, right? So it was kind of a mid off between the Habs and and the Carolina Hurricanes. Let's just hope that could, I think Slafkovský has the toolkit to be more than that. At least that's what we're all hoping for, right?
Well, he's also younger than Kotkaniemi. He's 2 points behind. Kotkaniemi has 16 points right now.
But 2 years
Slafkovský is
younger,
fourteen.
3 years younger. So yeah, that evens out.
Yeah,
Evens out.
but I think, and you know, you mentioned be getting personal. I don't want to get too much of a tangent here, but it got personal between Kotkaniemi and Bergevin too,
Oh
right?
yeah,
Because
big time.
you don't accept an offer sheet if you're happy where you are, right? If you're not trying to stick it to somebody, you don't do that either, right? So
Big time.
I think it went bad on all counts. It wasn't just the ownership beef, obviously that played a part,
I still
but yeah.
remember, and I was doing the Habs locker clean out. So they just tossed me on live, and I was on live on their Habs TV for like 5 hours, right? But you know me, motor mouth, no problem. We were waiting for Kotkaniemi, and they said they're having their meeting. Their meeting took 2 hours. You know that did not go well. Because like moments, and at the same time, at the exact same time, Joël Bouchard left his job, actually. So within like a moment, he essentially lost Kotkaniemi, and he knew it. That was like game over. He lost his AHL coach, and then he had to replace Dano. And then, like that, I'd
Weber
like,
Price.
yeah. Oh man, yeah. Weber, that was just must have been the most meltdown moment of Marc Bergevin's life. And like,
the worst, I don't want to pile on Bergevin
oh
here,
yeah, go for it
but
though.
we mentioned all those guys, and you know who we replaced them with? Mike Hoffman, Christian Dvorak, and David Savall.
Well, that brings us
Like
perfectly to our next topic. And actually, Melissa brought it up. Oh man, that Dvorak trade. Eh? Philip Bystedt essentially ended up being that player who we're going to see him tomorrow play for Sweden. He's one of their best players. He's going to play in the World Juniors and also a second round pick coming up this summer. Anyways, what's done is done. I've cried about the spilled milk. That was probably the worst trade, one of the worst trades in Habs history. Not the top 10. But as
Come
Melissa Fournier Martinez in our chat says, I think Dvorak's injury may change something in the trade ask. But that's just my totally uninformed opinion, just vibes. Well, here, I'm going to throw some just vibes at you. We heard today Jake Allen is in play. Teams have asked for him. But when the Leafs were looking for a goalie, they tossed a seventh round pick out there and nobody took it. And that used to be good enough in the NHL to get a goalie. But things are complicated. There's goalies with a lot of salary cap. Jake Allen's probably one of the cheapest, best value ones out there. But Kent Hughes is holding on for his price. What do you think about an idea like this, getting a guy like Ryan Suzuki for, and I know we've mentioned it in other chats before, I like that idea for Jake Allen, because, okay, yeah, you can go get a fifth round pick, like if he turns into a Gallagher, that's one in a million. Most of the time, it turns into whoever the Habs drafted fifth, the fifth round pick for the last 5 years. Ryan Suzuki, to me, first of all, you're making Nick happy, center, and could help the AHL team, and there's some potential there, and he needs a new start. Am I just kind of dreaming that it might be something that it isn't? Because I feel like Ryan Suzuki would be a cool trade target.
I think you're onto something here, right? And it's not only because it's Ryan Suzuki, it's because Kent Hughes's MO has been getting older prospects over draft picks,
right?
Like Alex Newhook, Kirby Dach, Emil Heinemann, right? Instead of getting that second round pick or first round, Justin Barron.
He'd rather have like a guaranteed value, even if the value isn't high, he'd rather know what it is. Yeah.
And the thing is too, is it's kind of a market inefficiency, because draft picks are kind of like cars.
Yeah.
As soon as the pick is made, it loses value, right? Like, unless it's like a Connor Bedard or something similar. Mm-hmm. As soon as the draft pick's made, it's like, it can't be anything anymore. You mentioned Philip Bystedt. Like, if I offered you a late first round pick or Philip Bystedt, you take the late first round pick every day of the week, right? Like, it's just the way GMs think.
Yeah, a little bit. Right. I would actually take Bystedt. But yeah, that's how GMs think. Yeah. I know. Jeez, they really missed out. But yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, and it's really what he does try to do, is get that actual like a tangible value.
Right. And Ryan Suzuki was a first round pick. I don't think he has that type of value right now.
No.
So, you know, if you're looking at a mid round pick or a guy who was a first round pick 3 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Not dissimilar to other trades that Kent Hughes has made, right? And he talks about the window, right? Like, he doesn't want to wait 7 years for an 18-year-old to come into this group when, you know, Caulfield's contract is almost expiring.
Suzuki's was that a Mishkov? Was that a shot at Mishkov or no?
not necessarily, but I think that it's also part of the determination of what he wants, right? He doesn't want, and I think you're going to see this a lot with the picks they have, because they have a lot of picks. They have that Calgary first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that you're going to see maybe him trade, you know, a Nazar for Dach kind of move. Thing where you get a little bit older, sure product guy who can fit in. You know, Alex Newhook is probably the best example. That probably even better than Dach as an example, because, you know, yes, Ethan Gauthier would be nice in the prospect pool.
It's Gulyayev that they drafted 31st overall. Mikhail Gulyayev. Oh, he's gonna be good.
I know you love him.
He's gonna be good. He's Lane Hudson, but Russian. Oh, he's gonna be good. Yeah.
but I think at the same time, there's a reasoning behind it, which is we want somebody who's a little bit older, fit into our lineup right away. Obviously, it
fits didn't work the out window, the injuries, right? Yeah,
right. I mean, look, if this is like, there's no window on it. Like, he's building this prospect pool to be good even after the Suzuki contract, even after the Caulfield contract. Like, it's not like a one and done window.
Yeah,
but that's the window, right? That's the window that you're looking at, right? Otherwise, you're looking at guys like Sapkowski leading the way, and then Hudson, and then, you know, like, it starts to punt it down a little bit. It becomes like Buffalo, right? Buffalo's rebuild is going pretty good now, like, not on the ice.
They got great pieces, but yeah, they have.
No, but that's what I mean. They have good pieces, but this rebuild started with Jack Eichel, right? And they kind of had to redo a rebuild
in the land before time. There,
no, but that's the whole thing. Is like
you don't want to rebuild your rebuild yet.
You don't want to be in a position where you're rebuilding and trading Suzuki and Caulfield to rebuild again, right? Like,
no, that's a good point.
It's gonna be interesting. But yeah, I would 100% do that in a second.
We also have, I believe it's from NHL in the chat, says, I had a quick Google Translate on it, so I apologize. It was saying hello to our neighbors, and Buffalo fan as well. So congratulations to the Buffalo fan, was saying Happy New Year in our chat there, NHL. So I translated that real quick. Hey, I think Buffalo, and it's weird because I swear to God, Jared, they're the team every single year. I'm like, this is their year. Like, and I'm serious about it. I'm like darn serious about it. Buffalo's going to be good this year. I feel like it's coming, though. You know, we joke, but there's too much talent on that team. Yeah. And it's not like the Ottawa Senators, where the Senators have a ton of talent. I don't know if they have elite talent, but when you look guys like Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin, like to me, that's elite, elite talent, right? And if Devon Levi, who, by the way, I love the band, and there's a drummer called Levon Helm, and it messes with my head because I've read Levon 1,000 times in my life. Every time I want to call him Levon Devi, but Devon Levi has that potential to be elite, right? So they have those elite pieces at least. And to me, that's more important than like that depth, which is kind of what
they have. And they also have those pieces coming, right? They have Matt Savoy. Like they have guys that are like legitimate prospects still on the way.
Yeah.
I think they're in a better position than Ottawa and Detroit by far, not only because of the Thompsons and the Dahlins, but because they still have like Benson and Savoy.
Yeah, they're
still building that prospect pool. And you look at Rochester, Yuri Kulik, like a bunch of guys who are still not in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I definitely think there's too much talent there to fail. And I think that they're the team that I'd rather be if you're looking at Ottawa, Detroit, me Buffalo, too. That grouping.
Yeah.
They're definitely a team I want
to
be.
Although I still believe that God created Buffalo just to test fans, like just to see how far he could push them. Like
just the football team, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, the Bills are like, I was looking, the Bills are still, they're okay, but they're still never going to get anywhere in the playoffs, right? That's just. Sorry, Scoot Matla, if you're listening, but the Bills aren't getting anywhere in the playoffs. All right, let's check what the chat has to say. And we're going to jump soon. Don't forget to like the chat, subscribe, all that fun stuff. If you like what you see, you can suggest guests and we'll get some guests on. We actually have Brian Wilde is coming on for the next show, so that should be fun. He never does any podcasts, but I asked him. We go way back, so Brian Wilde's going to jump on. Not the show where Andrew's on. I actually just completely ignored the next show, which is Saturday. The Habs are facing, I just read it a couple minutes ago. Anyways, Brian will be on the next time I'm on, and that's what's important here. Okay, Trinka says Brock Caulfield. We got to go get Brock Caulfield. Yeah, sure, deal. But I don't know, can you trade for ECHL players? Is that a thing? Trade for Alex.
The Rocket could.
Yeah, there you go. What should we name the show? Bros before Bucks? Yeah, sure, that is the theme tonight. Ratgift mentions Ryan Suzuki is in the final year of the ELC. Wouldn't you wonder what happens if extension talks go not so smoothly? Well, that's the other part too. If you're Carolina, I do know they like him though, and he's gone through a lot of injuries, but like, I guess you give him another year, you give him the Jesse Ylönen treatment, right? You give him another year. But at that point, you know, if another team comes knocking with an opportunity, most, even if Carolina and Montreal have their issues, which I think is dead now, right? Because Bergevin fucked off to LA and he got his deno finally. You make it happen. You don't hold a guy back, right? So if Ryan Suzuki and Nick Suzuki say like, hey, can we make it happen? I'm sure there's a deal to be there. Melissa mentions, wasn't it Dahlin that Slav annoyed a few times during the game? At one point, I think he just tossed him. I will say this, Rasmus Dahlin, in my opinion, I would say easily top five, maybe top three, probably not his best game though, right, Jared?
No, the Canadians aren't that bad of a team, but anytime you look that bad against Canadians, it's not a very good night for you.
Yeah. Even though they won 6-1, like I know Buffalo fans right now are probably thinking, what the hell is he talking about? I just think that for Rasmus Dahlin, the bar is like really, really high, in my opinion. Has to be elite.
You know, look, it's like us discussing Cole Caulfield versus Josh Anderson, right? Like, they can have the exact same game of like, oh, what a great game for Anderson, and what a bad game for Caulfield, right? Mm-hmm. It's the bar is higher for those guys, mm-hmm. and if you're not at that level, it shows. And I think that, late in the first period, Slafkovský created a scoring chance there. So, not his best game.
He had a few one-timers. Anyway. That was fun to see some from Slafkovský. Also, speaking of him in the offensive zone, I know his forecheck was good, like we saw in Dahlin, but he finally got his one-timer off a few times today, and that, to me, was interesting because I feel like it's not his strongest skill.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see, they're all pretty smart hockey players on that top line, and mm-hmm. I think you're starting to see them start to understand each other and how to play together. Mm-hmm. And that creates more opportunities. And you want to see more production from them. But last game they had great production. So, I'm not too worried about this. It's not the best game. Not the best game to evaluate anybody on this team. Like,
because as Kay mentioned in the chat about Sandinas, he got dunked on by Armia. Like, come on now. Like, how do you, you can't. There's no good you can take from Sandin. The moment you get dunked on by Armia, especially a Finn, a Swede getting dunked on by a Finn that's Armia, Man, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Jean Simon mentions here, Morgan Frost would be available on the trade block. Tortorella doesn't like him. That's shocking. You're telling me John Tortorella doesn't like a hockey player? Wow. Doesn't like him. He has offensive potential. We need help at C. Should Hughes look at it? All right, let's check it out. Okay, here's the thing. He's another middle lineup guy, right? Like he. Okay, Morgan Frost is 24 years old. He has 11 points, 27 games. Last year, he had 46 points in 81 games. He'll get a point every two games, or you know, so he's a half a point per game player. He's okay. There's nothing that really jumps out from his game that you'd be, you know, he's maybe shies away a little too much from the physical play. You know, if you can get him for good value, Jean, and Jean always suggests pretty interesting things in the chat, and this is another one that's interesting. We have to be realistic with who's available. To me, Jared, I don't think guys like Morgan Frost really move the needle, right? Like, I think if you're going to add anyone, you go for guys that have a slightly higher potential, which is what you were seeing, like just a little bit higher, like with Newhook, basically.
Yeah, like I think that it depends on what you're talking about, right?
He's
If you're talking
24,
about
yeah.
if you're talking about a really low, risk addition, then guys like that are good to pile up.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about like your that's your premium guy, you want a little bit more. So I mean, it's kind of hard to say exactly because we don't know what
Yeah,
the
he
ask
makes
is,
about $2.1
what the
million.
yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing it wouldn't cost
He's not
much,
a
but
bad he's a
yeah.
he's a
It's one
like
of those
he's a
like,
he's
okay,
a
yeah.
he's better than a Monahan or Dvorak for this team, but I mean, what are you willing to give up for that
Not
role, right? Like
Babuku. Babuku.
he's not better than Suzuki, he's not better than Doc, he's probably not better than Newhook. So you're looking at like a maybe a second line winger and
Upgrade
a third
on
line
Mitchell
center.
Stevens.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of time to upgrade on Mitchell Stevens, right? Like
Yeah,
it's
fair.
not a need.
But he's
There's guys in
available. That's
Laval who would be
is
an
the
upgrade on
realistic
Mitchell
part, is that
Stevens.
he's available, right?
Right.
So, but you're right. We don't know what they're asking for right now. From what I heard, Daniel Brière has been pretty Kent Hughes-ish in his approach. Like he sets a price and he sticks to it. And so far, Daniel Brière's trades have been pretty darn good. Okay, they've been begging for. Before we get to the PWHL, I'm gonna ask one last time if everyone could like the show. Jared doing great. We bring him on after terrible losses, but we know that he's got the great commentary that can hold us through these terrible losses. We'll get to the PWHL. Ratgift in the chat is mentioning Dallas is not having a great night. Drouin just got a second goal against them a few minutes ago. Jonathan Drouin, and this warms my cold dead heart, is playing very well for the Avalanche right now. And it almost
Makes you so happy. You're
right,
so
it almost
happy.
went south really quick. But he's one of the only guys who, I mean, a lot of people won't know this and they won't care. But I remember I was having a hard time. I mentioned on Twitter at one point when I was working for the Habs. It was actually with the Habs I was having a hard time. And Drouin came to me and he had a nice long conversation. He was just very, very nice. And me and him bonded on a lot of what, you know, how the sausage is made. Let's put it that way, behind the scenes, how it can get ugly sometimes and how the human kind of gets thrown out of it. And that was really important to me. So I know there's bias in my case, but I really like Jonathan Drouin, and I'm just happy to see him happy. That like it just warms my cold dead heart because he went through so much bullshit in Montreal. It's just I'm just happy to see him get a chance to be, you know, to go back to what made him fall in love with the game again, right? Like that's what he lost when he was in Montreal, and the media was way too harsh on him. The fans were way too harsh on him. So I'm just really happy to see Drouin. I think it's like 10 points in his last 7 games or something, which is great.
Yeah, no, very, very happy. Very happy for him. I always thought that he had a got a raw deal here. It wasn't his fault that he was treated as the next
Yeah,
Messiah.
he didn't trade for himself, yeah.
And he showed us who he was, and a lot of fans and media refused to believe that. And I'll just leave it at that.
That's a great quote. Yeah, you summed up what I was trying to babble through for a while. Hey, he's half a point per game, 6 goals, 12 assists in 36 games for
He's been half a point a game for like the last 5 years.
that's the other part. Yeah. And you get what you pay for, right? That's what 5 million gets you, believe it or not, in the NHL nowadays is about half a point per game, right? So, anyways, let's get to what, in my opinion, was the coolest thing we've seen in the last little while. I hope Marcus saw the post. Okay, so let's talk about the PWHL. There was a lot of fun going on. Obviously, we saw Marie-Philippe Poulin got to celebrate with her fiance there, and
Laura Stacey.
yeah, Laura, no, but to me, it's Marcus that. For those that didn't understand, someone mentioned she was. celebrating with Stacy, who they've been fiancéed for, well, actually not, it's been, they've been going out for a long time.
But happened this summer.
But they've been going out for years now, you know, like it's been quite well known in the women's hockey circles. And and one guy came in with, hey, I don't, what do you mean her fiance? I don't see him. Is he behind the glass? And then the next person was like, they're gay, Marcus. They're gay. You know, like just welcome to the reality. It was pretty darn funny. And even the PWHL accounts were making fun of it too. So anyhow, if you see I hope Marcus sees this post that is in reference of him not understanding that that the best female hockey player is going to marry one of the other very good female hockey players in the PWHL. But hey, what was the coolest part for you? Because, man, the hockey was great. The fans were great. People were even criticizing Boston. But, Jared, they had a good amount of fans there. Just it wasn't a sellout, right? Like we saw in Toronto, like we saw in Ottawa.
We're getting mad that, like, they got, like, 2,000-3,000 people. Like, in 5 years ago, that was like, oh, my God, that's insane.
Buffalo used to get – Boston used to get 300 people maybe, eh? Like, maybe 150, you know?
Their old arena was the practice facility. So picture like Boisal, if you're in Montreal, I've ever been there, seen the arena, like seats maybe 500, 600 people, mm-hmm. and they sold out there. But I mean, we're judging on a scale now. And you know, I saw in the chat my top moments. My top moment is that this is becoming normal. Right, like the so stat. I've been covering pro women's hockey for 10 years. Mm-hmm. The standards have gotten so high now that it's just like getting mad that they got a couple thousand people in a game and are empty seats. Like that's the standard now. Are you kidding me? Look, it's the coolest thing that I saw over the weekend. I was in Ottawa for Montreal's first game. I say over the weekend, but it was really a Tuesday. But anyway, I was there. I go into a restaurant. I'm waiting for my meal. The TV has CTV National News on it. They're talking to somebody in the arena. It was in the afternoon. And they're talking about, and these two guys behind me, not too old, not too young. Like I'd say, you know, in their 30s. Mm-hmm. See what's going on. They're like, Ottawa has a PWHL team. Cool. Awesome. I saw the game last night, yesterday with Toronto, New York. Like, people like just talking clicked. About yeah, women's yeah. hockey.
Yeah.
Look, visibility has always been like a buzzword that was used. Like, we need more visibility. I didn't understand it even being in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you can watch RDS and in the intermission, they're talking to Danielle Sauvageau and showing highlights.
And she's so smart. Like, oh, we're so lucky.
Mind blown. Like, mm-hmm. it's becoming natural to talk about women's hockey. And that is the most important thing. Mm. And that's why it feels different. And there's people who are coming to me who are talking about women's hockey who I didn't even know liked hockey, never mind women's hockey. And I think that's what happens when you have games on CBC and RDS and TSN and Sportsnet. It's visible, it's there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the coolest thing for me as someone who's been around in a while is that it's now becoming just normal, right? And I was there in Ottawa. It was a great crowd, and the thing that hit me as after the game
mm-hmm.
is like, this is game one of the season. Like I'm used to big events, and Mark, you've been there for Clarkson Cups,
yep.
where it's a big event,
three, yeah.
you know, everyone shows up, and then the season's over, and everyone forgets about it. This was like the opposite. This is game one of the season. Montreal plays on Saturday, and then they play again on Wednesday, and then they have their home opener a week after. Like,
are there tickets, by the way, available? Because like, I'm gonna try. I know the Habs are playing, which I can't fault them, but I want to sneak in somehow. I want to go watch the game real quick. But I didn't even get tickets, and I think I might be out of luck.
The first two games in Verdun are sold out.
Tabahash. I'm gonna have to go media style for this one. I'm gonna have to sneak it, but then yeah, I can't cheer. Yeah,
that's the thing. Is like Toronto. Toronto, like they sold out their entire season in like a couple of hours.
Good.
And it's good, but it's also like people are like, oh, I lost interest now. Like I don't really care. Like you don't lose interest. Like if that's, you know, if you don't, you're not in the building, it's not a big deal, but that just shows you like, it's crazy. There's a game,
yeah.
There's a game at the end of the season against Toronto and there's like very few seats left. Like it's,
oh, that's cool, man.
It's really cool. And there's games at Place Bell. Like if you're, If you haven't gotten tickets yet, there's still tickets. Don't get discouraged. Place Belle still has a bunch of tickets available. There's reports that Minnesota is going to beat Ottawa's record on Saturday at their home opener.
Cool, man. Record beating after record beating after. That's amazing.
And
That's,
hey, look, Place Belle holds more people than what Minnesota's expecting. So, Montreal has always been a
And
good
the Laval
women's hockey
fans are
market.
crazy too, right? They're already much louder than the Montreal fans, let's be honest. So.
Yeah, it's going to be very, it's just fun. It's just fun for me because I know what those players have gone through. I know what they fought through for the last 5 years. And it's been tough for them. And like you see the emotion in their face and you see like their posts on Instagram and just how happy they are. Like, Marie-Claude Poulin is somebody who doesn't really show her emotions a lot.
Nope, she's very stoic.
And she like posted on Instagram like we did it little one, and she posted a picture of herself when she was a kid playing hockey, like stuff like that. Like it's much you realize how big it is when you see their reactions to it. Like there's not much in hockey that Marie-Philippe Poulin hasn't done. And for her to be that
Pumped up about,
excited for it.
shoot.
It's a big difference, and it make like we spoke to Stan Kasten, who's like the president of the Dodgers. He's the guy that Mark Walter, gave said, "Hey, start a women's hockey league. I'll give you the money. You make it work."
Like literally,
And he was
he
talking.
opened his coffers there. Like, yeah, that's the other part which I laugh at is people are like, well, they're gonna ask for more money from the NHL. Bitch, they have nothing to do with the NHL. They have more money than the NHL. Stop worrying. Like,
The
stop
funniest
picturing them
part,
failing because they have way more backing than the NHL do money wise. So yeah.
The funniest part about this is like they are giving basically their broadcast away for free. Their merchandise launch did not go as planned. There's people who want to buy stuff who can't or aren't interested in what they have. And the funny part is they don't even care. Like they're not in it for like th there is not a care in the world that they make money this
Yeah,
season.
they really
And I
want the rollout
think
to go
that
well, the players to be protected, and the
like
product to be good.
they are completely I don't have a source on this. I don't have anybody on the
So,
record who's
trust me,
saying this,
bro. Your sources
but
trust me, bro.
I would say that they are surprised by how big the demand
Well,
is.
I'll tell
I
you,
don't
the,
think.
man, the 15,000 people, there were more people watching the Minnesota Boston game live than the Ottawa Montreal game, right? I think at the live, the highest peak for the Montreal game was 16,000. And at one point, we're at 19,000, the Minnesota game. And these are, listen, I don't want to disrespect Minnesota and Boston. They're huge hockey towns, but they're not huge women's hockey towns as big as Montreal. Let's put it that way. Montreal always had way, okay, actually, Minnesota's had a long history there, but Boston always had an issue with their attendance. I will say this, they blew me out of the water with the amount of people that showed up and the people that were watching it live. We're talking about 16, 18, 19,000 people live. That's a huge amount.
I saw numbers for the Montreal Ottawa game, which was remember, opposite a Habs game. Habs game was on RDS. Women's hockey was on RDS too. Women's hockey, PWHL got 150,000 people average.
Are you talking
The
about just
Habs game got five.
the stream or the RDS?
No, RDS.
Okay.
150,000 people average.
Yeah.
The Habs game had 500,000 people average.
That's huge for the PWHL.
Like
Huge.
the fact that we are even that like
Like the
it seems
Alouettes, if
like
the Alouettes got that, they would be doing backflips.
it's unbelievable to see the support. And it's great to see, it really is. Like people are talking about it, and I think the biggest thing is just naturalizing talking about it. Like us talking about this, like we would talk about this about the CWHL, but we wouldn't have people in the chat asking questions. We wouldn't have people in
True,
the chat
true.
caring
Yeah.
about this.
Yeah.
Me and you can talk about women's hockey
And we
for
have, that's
forever,
the other part, was
and
we
we
do it for
have.
like 5 or 6 hours at a time, but that's and you're right. I was always a little bit afraid to bring it out into the like this is a Habs post-game chat, but no one's complaining actually. Our numbers are going up. So, you know, I get what you mean there. And even the other part is there was 120,000 people that viewed it just on YouTube, the Montreal game. So add that to the RDS numbers, you know, you're looking at
Plus
about
TSN.
plus a
Plus
TSN
TSN.
number.
It was
Absolutely.
Montreal, Ottawa, right? So,
Crazy.
there's a lot watching it. Like, there's a lot of people who are Francophone who watch in English and vice versa. Like, yeah, it's just unbelievable. And plus, it's in Ottawa. There are a lot of Montreal fans there. There was mostly Ottawa fans there, out of the 8,300, but there was
There's a
about,
good amount of,
1,000, at least about a
which is
good
cool.
1,000 people from
Traveling
Montreal.
fans, yeah.
So,
I'll say this: I might become an Ottawa fan. Just I love Brienne Jenner, and I called her Emily Mashmeyer the other day. But whoops, I was really tired. I was so tired.
I love a bunch of the Ottawa people.
But Emerin Smashmeyer, I mean, come on, like, come on. How can
she's
you,
great.
She's
Look. I've talked to her about a lot of hard times in her hockey career.
Yeah, and it's just so cool to see them finally on the.
I have lots of time for Emerin. So I like one of the nicest people I've ever talked to.
Yeah, yeah. They all are.
Ottawa has a good group. Carla McLeod blew me away after a game on Tuesday. She was so giddy and happy after a loss. Mm-hmm. And she's like, scoreboard doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like just look you at see the people out there.
You're talking about the Ottawa coach, right?
Ottawa coach, yeah. Ottawa coach Carla McLeod, like just. Unbelievable. Like
she's like, and she, but the key part she said there, and this is something that, you know, I kind of feel weird sort of doing it, but is saying like, keep the media attention on it. Like she's essentially saying like, we need you guys here every single damn game. And that's so big, a big part of it too. Right. Cause right now we're on that crest, but once, you know, once the wave falls, we still have to keep pushing forward. And we have to give tons of credit to RDS. They've done an amazing job covering it. A lot of the French side has done a fantastic job covering it. TSN jumping
French,
in there.
The French side has always done a great job.
Fantastic job with Women's Hockey. Yeah.
You look at La Presse.
Yeah.
Radio-Canada. They've
done a really good job. Yeah. And now we're seeing, and Sportsnet and TSN aren't fighting, right? From what I've seen, they split the games, right?
That's the whole thing.
These companies hate each other and they split the games.
The PWHL is distributing these games. They're the ones producing it. So they are the ones that hire the broadcasters.
Oh, smart.
When you're watching on RDS or you're watching on TSN, mm-hmm. everyone has the same feed as what you're watching on YouTube.
Okay.
So what's happening there is that they're just distributing it, and credit to TSN Sportsnet. CBC, TSN Sportsnet all showed the first game, Toronto, New York.
Love it.
And it was
live in the States too. I know that
NESN, I think, and MSG, and yeah, like
that's great. So all these numbers.
Every team has a regional TV deal. Mm-hmm. Like that's like when Stan Kasten said that
that
most of the games would be on TV, I'm like, okay, yeah, buddy. Okay, sure.
And that's what I remember. Emily Bunton, remember last year she was saying, it was Emily, right?
Hannah Bunton.
Hannah, sorry. Jeez, yeah. That one I just made a mistake. She was saying last year, she's like, hey man, like how did you guys fall in love with male hockey players? And I was like, well, I saw Marcus Naslund skate and score goals. And like, it wasn't clicking in my head. I'm like, well, then I saw Patrick Roy save a lot of pucks. Like, so what's the big deal? She's like, yeah, where did you see the mark? You know, like she's obviously much smarter than I was. I was like, oh, well, on TV. And then she's like, oh, there you go. You just connected the dots. You know, you just connected the dots to how you build long-term fans. And I've always said that the PWHL or the CWHL before it, if you go to a game, you're going to fall in love, but you still need that outlet. So the fact that there's TV games, ugh, absolutely just fantastic for the fans. And I'll say this, it's cool for people like you, Jared, because you've been a legitimate supporter of women's hockey before we were even talking about, you know, the two leagues in the United States and Canada. You were following Concordia, you know, you were a lot of these people you saw play in the Quebec leagues, and you followed them the NCAA. And it's really cool to see. I'll be probably the person that put the most effort into covering women's hockey. There's a couple people that I could probably name, but you in particular, it's cool to see you finally get that chance to really, you know, sink your teeth into it, because it wasn't always easy and it cost money to cover women's hockey for many, many years. I remember going to Ottawa, going to Toronto with you. I mean, they cost us money to go cover the games. Let's be perfectly honest. I went to three Clarkson Cups. I'm sure you went to more, and they cost me money every time. I didn't submit my bills, and I don't want to whine about it, but it wasn't the most profitable venue. It wasn't the most, the venue with the brightest future. So to see now that is blossoming, I think, and it's not just you, man. It's seeing Caroline Ouellette must be melting.
Stuck in locker rooms and stuck in changing rooms for actors and watching award shows and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's been a ride. Not having press boxes and stuff like that. Yeah, there's been a lot of.
Remember in Toronto when I believe it was a semifinal, but they locked the popcorn counter on us and like they're like, "Fuck you! There's no, you guys don't get no ice cream."
It was an All-Star game.
Yeah. Oh, it was the All-Star game.
They locked the fridges. The fridges in the press box were locked because they had a Leafs game.
And then you guys get out. Like the buzzer goes out, and there was a person waiting with like a shock rifle. Like, get out of here. You know,
we were doing post game interviews, and they were kicking us out.
Yeah, and I was covering the Habs game after, and even then they wanted me to leave, and I was like, well, like here's my like Montreal accreditation, and like, okay, you stay. The rest of you filthy people, get out of here. Anyways, it's been a long road, and there's so many people. Like I wish Meg Hewings, I don't know if she's around or she's watching it, but a lot of this.
She was at the first game. With a bunch of the Canadian
big fan of her,
all timers. She was there. It's nice that everything is here for them, because I mean, Gina Hefford, I have a story coming on Eyes on the Prize tomorrow about all this as well, and she said that we have to look at the previous leagues not as failures, but as lessons. Necessary things that got us to this point. Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, she's played in three of those leagues. She was the commissioner of one of those leagues. Yeah. She knows, she's been around the block, right? And I think that's really key. And the one thing that really stuck out to me over my week in Ottawa, or couple of days in Ottawa, Stan Kasten, who is the, we got sidetracked when I first mentioned him, president of, you know, on the board, president of Dodgers, used to work for the Thrashers and the Braves and the Washington Nationals as well. He was kind of the guy who's been putting this together. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, you know, someone asked about the logos and the team names and stuff like that. And he's like, listen, we had 6 months to get this league running. There were some things that we know have to get done, but there were some things that we needed to get done first. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the one thing that we had to do was get the hockey right. And then he stopped and he got emotional, choked up. And he's like, we got the hockey right. And he's like, these girls have been working, waiting for this.
The most talented players available all in one area.
And for someone like him, mm-hmm. who is coming out of this baseball world, not really in the women's hockey world at all.
You can tell how,
but to have someone like that championing for the players
alongside Billie Jean King, it's pretty.
Yeah, weird. Like that's who's running this. That's who's running these things. It's someone who's literally getting choked up talking about how happy he is for the players, and it's just that's when it hit me. Like, okay, these people get it.
Yeah,
like it's not just.
That's why I'm not worried. Money. That's why I'm not worried when people start saying we'll see in a few months. Like, no, man, there's no issue. There's no issue. There's no pressure. And
we'll see in a few months when every rink is selling out games.
Yeah,
The TV numbers are going even higher and higher. Like,
but it's fun that there's no pressure. There's no épée de Damocles there that's just sitting there. That's like, hey, you know, this could go wrong tomorrow. And for the first time, these elite women athletes don't have to stress out constantly. Like they still have to outdo every single male athlete by just, you know, working 10 times harder and having a better background, but they don't have to worry that tomorrow the league's gone. And I know that sounds...
We talk about investment into women's hockey. This is an investment. They're not looking to sell. No. They're not looking to make it attractive to buyers. They're not even building looking a foundation. To make it attractive to sponsors. Like they literally are just putting the money in.
I love it.
And they know that eventually they'll get something out of it. And that's the biggest difference, that this is a real investment. Like they're in it for the long haul. And like, it's fun to see. Like, it's not perfect. There's going to be mistakes and they admit this as well. Like it's not like I'm, you know, saying anything that they're not saying. They're going to make mistakes. And Stan Kasten said, he's like, we're going to learn something from every ticket we sell and every ticket we don't sell.
Yeah. There we go. That's key.
Right. And I think that
it's a bit of an honest attitude. Just
get it.
Yeah.
Honest attitude, and just knowing that, listen, this season starting in January, ending in May, like this season isn't, it's year one, but judge them based on next October.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Like, exactly. Yeah.
Like, and everything that's going on now, you know, yes, there's no team names, there's no logos. It matters, but in
it six won't. Months from now, no it won't. Gonna, in 20 no years, gonna no one's going to. Well, here's the other part. And then, you know, that I think it was a big mistake personally. But that being said, because again, like the Southern Alabama minor slow pitch league, like, started with team names and logos. But that being said, in 20 years, it won't matter, right? And what they're doing now is they're creating a safety, an environment where these athletes can be at their best. And these athletes have never had that environment. So that's why it's so damn important.
And look, if the option was getting team names to start and starting next October, or having hockey for these 6 months,
I don't know.
The answer is always...
I don't know. I might have gone October, but hey, listen. There's a reason why the Walters are billionaires, and I'm not so much. And also, hey, Trizak, or no, was it Trinka? Who's same person? Who apparently I'm not gonna mix them up when I meet in person, and I have a pretty good idea why. I didn't do enough trades tonight. I didn't do enough trades. So who if you're, well, there you go. We can stone two birds at once, as Ricky would say, and Trailer Park Boys. Who should Les Canadiens target in a trade? Ooh, I was looking at their defense. It's okay. It's not great.
Yeah, their defense is the weak point.
Yeah.
But they're built to score goals. You know who could really help the Canadiens is probably Anne-René Desbiens, if we're being honest. You want a goalie? No, I'm.
Is Desbiens gonna? What's the deal there?
Well, she's great. She's the best in the world.
Yeah, but is she actually she's playing? She's not playing, right? She's like an
alternate. No, she's playing. She's a Montreal starter. She's a Montreal starter.
Wait, who am I thinking about?
Asking if I'm in Montreal. Yes, I'm in Montreal.
Yes, Jared is from Montreal, and we're gonna wrap up because it's been about an hour. But Jared, when I first started coming up to do like the morning show with TSN for 690, he and his beautiful wife Shanna would allow me to crash there. So I would stay up way too late and get up way too early. Like I stay up till like 3 a.m., wake up at 4 a.m., bolt out of there, go to 690, come back, crash, just confusingly. And then about a week later, I disappeared. So either way, they're some of the nicest and the best people that I've ever met in Montreal. And I probably owe them a few more visits, especially with their beautiful daughter. But no, Jared's in Montreal, Shauna's in Montreal, and they are great, great people. I'm talking like really, really good people. Hell, I know Jared's mother-in-law quite well, actually, to that point there, you know. And she's great because she calls me on my shit constantly. She constantly calls me on my bullshit. So I'm a big fan of your mother-in-law. I don't know. Actually, we're not going to put it on video. I was about to ask you, are you a big fan of your mother-in-law? Or we're not going to put that on video. Not this.
I am.
There you go. Smart. All right. So Desbiens, man, here's the thing is that I would like Mashmeyer in Montreal, if I'm being perfectly honest. So what if we do like Desbiens for Mashmeyer? And who did they throw in there? Who could they throw in? Can't throw in Jenner's too heavy to throw, too big to throw in there. We're going to make a trade.
Yeah, just their captain and their starting goal. No big deal. No big deal. You know, Jake Allen for Austin Matthews, and why not? Yeah,
and
they'll do it.
And hold on, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, they don't have a goalie as good as Desbiens or Mashmeyer. That's the issue with Toronto. All right. That was, and again, thank you so much for this is what happens with me and Jared. We can talk. Okay, we're over an hour. I wanted to keep it at 40 minutes. We go back. We'll go in his backyard and we'll talk women's hockey for hours and hours and hours at a time. So maybe at one point we're going to have to run a podcast in that sense. But I encourage everyone, watch the PWHL games. You know, go to them if you can. Support them. Share the clips online. That's how people fall in love with this game. And it's fantastic hockey. The favorite thing for me is when I see people watch it for the first time. And it's mostly guys will be like, man, they can actually shoot, eh? So Sofia Kunin yesterday had one of the nicest releases I've seen in a while. And I just said, great release. And I had like three or four people DM me and they're like, damn, them girls can shoot. Like, yes, them girls can shoot. Absolutely. They're rough. They're good skaters. They're fun to watch. So if you get a chance, watch PWHL, Montreal, Ottawa. And the only team right now that hasn't scored a goal in the PWHL is?
Toronto.
So we can all dunk on the Toronto PWHL team because historically they will be officially the last team to score their first goal. So as per usual, sadness follows in Toronto. I want to thank absolutely everyone. Kay's going to bed. Well, hey, it's time for all of us to wrap up. Thank you everyone that listened to the podcast. Jared, where can they find you?
At Twitter, Jared Book. Have the eyes on the prize, .com.
Centre 2102.
Yeah, exactly. If there's a women's hockey game in Montreal, odds are I'm probably going to be there too. So
yeah, absolutely. You can go up to him and talk to him, talk hockey, because nobody knows women's hockey as well. Well, there's a couple people, but Jared's right up there for knowledge of women's hockey. That is it for us tonight. Andrew's going to be on. Hey, you're getting a break from me. Andrew gave me a break during the holidays. I give him a little break after the New Year's, and I think he's back in next. So he's going to be there Saturday when the Canadians play. Who is it? Who are they playing against? I wrote it down just the other. Anyways, I have a great memory here, but they're going to be playing someone on Saturday. And just join us right after that game. Merci, Melissa. Merci, Trinka. Merci, Kay. Merci, Saltidan. Trizak. And Trinka, I know you're two different people. Merci, Jean. Merci, everyone that actually tuned in. And as per usual, we're going to end it the same way. We're going to thank Jared for his time. And we're going to say bye, Claire. Salut. Bye, Claire. Yeah!